It's really important to understand that God has many ways of getting people's attention. By taking away our finances, whatever it may be. Because we get into other areas that we should not be in, and we start worshiping the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed. We need to be very careful in that.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Many years ago, Raul was about to end his life when God grabbed his attention and gave him hope for the future. Now he wants others to know that they can find the same peace in their moments of crisis. For a free DVD of Raul's encouraging testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Well, on this midweek edition of Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue our focus on living an overcoming life with the Lord. Raul will urge us that in these unprecedented times, it's more important than ever that we share the hope of the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. Raul will help us find a way to prioritize the eternal future of others, even as we grapple with personal challenges here in this life. The title of today's lesson is The Importance of the Gospel. If you have your Bibles, join us in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Here's Raul Reese.
When I was in New York City and going to New Jersey and different places, how important is the gospel of Jesus Christ to us, to any one of us here, when you think about that? And what is my responsibility as a church member in giving the word of God to someone else? Because we come in contact with so many people in school, in our neighborhood, at the supermarket, wherever it may be. And a lot of times we don't think that when we make contact with people, that there's two things, life and death, that a lot of people are going to die. Almost everybody here is going to die one day, some sooner than others. And it doesn't really matter if you're really old or real young. God has no respecter of persons when it comes to death. And I think one of the great things that happens and that I've seen is that people are not prepared for eternity. It's amazing that people can be in a hospital and their family can be Christian, and then that person dying does not know the Lord. And they're going to be in eternity in a second. And I wonder how many of us here today really take it seriously to share with our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors. Because Paul the Apostle has such an incredible urgency that here in chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "How then shall they call on Jesus Christ in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" So here are some rhetorical questions he's asking. First of all, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed in? That means those are non-believers, heathens, unchurched people. Secondly, how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So he's talking about the need for the world and the need for the ambassador to go to the world and represent Christ and take them the message. And we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you the question in the Gospel of Matthew, when was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? There are probably many of us here that have not led anybody to the Lord in many, many, many weeks or months or years. And yet, we are held accountable. He goes on to say in verse 15, "How shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written from Isaiah 50, 2, verse 7, he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel." That's the problem. The gospel is not forced upon people. People have a will to choose or to reject, to accept or to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then in Isaiah 53:1, he quotes here, he says, "For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So he gives us the actual secret for people coming to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is through the Bible. Through us studying, reading, and sharing the Bible through other people. That's how you do it. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you think that, is it important for you, for me, to really share the gospel with another person? Well, the answer, of course, we know is yes. Yes. We need to. When Jesus was upon this earth for 3.5 years, preaching, teaching, and healing, he chose 12 men, one a betrayer, that would go actually with him and learn how to deliver the message and take it to the whole world. One became a betrayer and never took it. But the others did, and it cost them their lives, except for John the Beloved. He's the only one never got martyred, but he died of natural causes. And yet, he commanded his disciples by saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the Trinity of God, the blessing. Go. Secondly, verse 20, teaching them to keep all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So be it. The great commission given to each one of us individually. And when I was reading the scriptures and thinking about this, I thought, here God, the Lord Jesus, is calling us to this great commission. And yet, in order for me to fulfill the commission that God's given to me, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I can do it. There are three prepositions in the Greek for the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was here on the earth? And in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, he's talking to them and saying, "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come." And the Holy Spirit, first of all, is with people. As we share with people through a message or witnessing to them, or they listen to a radio program or watch television, or they read on the news magazine racks something about the gospel, the moment they receive the first witness of the gospel message, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is with them. Doing what? Trying to bring conviction to them so they can be converted. And once the Holy Spirit really, truly convicts a person, what happens? That person receives by faith Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit now comes into your heart. You become the private property of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. And many people stop right there with two prepositions, the para and the actual, when you come to the with and in, E-N in the Greek. But there's a third that's real important. Every day upon epi. E-P-I in the Greek. Upon experience. And the reason we need the upon experience every day is because we need to be witnesses in Diamond Bar, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We need that. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon epi." He's within you now, epi, upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, martyrs, to me in Jerusalem, wherever you live, is your hometown, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the whole earth. Imagine that. The Great Commission given to all of us here. And yet think for a moment that there are too many people within the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today that are doing nothing, zero for God. Zero. And yet the world's perishing and going to hell. Look at the economy. Look at the market. We were in New York City. People are freaking out, man, in the market. Freaking out. But who's your trust? Money? Or the Lord? It's really important to understand that God has many ways of getting people's attention by taking away our finances and sometimes taking away our children or your husband or your wife or your house or whatever it may be. Because we get into other areas that we should not be in and we start worshiping the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed. We need to be very careful in that. Because there are so many today that are doing zero for God and yet they do not give financially to the Lord in any way. Everything they actually have, it's all theirs for themselves. They're very self-centered, selfish, egotistic people. Very good at taking care of themselves, but not helping other people. And yet, God's on the throne. He knows what He's doing. I wonder what you're doing today with your time, which is very, very critical, because you're not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. Every minute, every second, every hour, every day, week, month, year, whatever it is, we're numbered. God knows exactly the day and hour I'm going to die, and you too. And I would pray that you're not wasting your time. Your time and your money that God's loaned to you. When Solomon was writing in the Proverbs, he writes to his children, and he says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord with all of your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. It says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Everything belongs to God. And then in the book of Acts, Jesus, as Paul the Apostle is giving his farewell speech before he's killed with the actual elders of the church of Ephesus on the seashore, they're weeping and crying. He inserts this little saying Jesus gave in chapter 20, 35. He says this, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I didn't make that up. That's the Lord. It is more blessed to give than to keep receiving. We need to listen to the word. We need to listen to the words of Jesus. Because even in our commitment to Jesus Christ, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be killed, and Peter, James, and John, and the others were following, and they were way up on top of the actual Sea of Galilee area, but up in the area of Caesarea Philippi, close to Mount Hermon. And Jesus came to them and said this. He said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me. Notice what he says. If anyone desires to come after me. The desire has to be there. Then number one, she has to deny themselves. You got to forget about self. Self cannot be involved. Number two, take up your cross. The cross is the instrument of what? Death. Humility. And three, follow me. That's the requirements. To really be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Genuine disciple. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And what profit is it to a man or a woman if they gain the whole world but lose their own soul? Or what will a man or woman give in exchange for their souls? Think about those two questions. People sell their souls cheaply. Hollywood. Football players, baseball players, hockey players, soccer players. For the mighty dollar. They think they're worth a lot of money. They sell their souls for women. For experiences that are not of the Lord. And I wonder how many of us here today really understand that the only profit that is valuable before God is eternal, not temporal. We're only here for a little while. The profits of eternity are great, but the temporal profits are going to burn. No profit. Only for a little while. That's it. Look how fast time flies. It moves quickly. And I think of all the people that waste their talent and time and monies doing nothing but only for self. Let me ask you a couple of questions here. I think it's important. What is the gospel to you? What is the gospel? Well, number one, it is the preaching of the good news. That's true. Number two, it is giving people the hope of eternal life. We're giving hope of eternal life. Thirdly, it is giving people an opportunity to be forgiven from all sin. All sin to be forgiven. And number four, it is giving people an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior and to be able to invest in the kingdom of God. Freely to the Lord. Freely to the Lord. That's what it's all about. But think of all the churches today that have lost their passion and their vision from reaching out to the lost. So many. So many are closing the doors. It's so sad. Closing the doors to their churches because they have no care for the world. Remember that story when Jesus was coming down into Samaria? And all of a sudden, he said this in chapter 9 of Matthew. He says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. And then he says this, and when he saw the multitudes of people, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Imagine that, Jesus. When he came over the hill, he said, oh my, look at all these people. They're lost. They're in need. What's the first thing he had? Compassion. Do we have compassion in our hearts? He was moved with compassion, it says. And then what did he do? He said to these disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We've done that through television, through radio, through missions, through discipleship. We're doing that. And yet, think of the actual opportunities that God has given to all of us to pray for the laborers. It's free. Pray. Pray for God to raise up everything that he has to do to get the gospel out, financially and in every way. But we must not forget one thing. I love Zechariah chapter 4, 6. It says this, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What do you mean? We need spiritual people, not carnal people. Spiritual people that have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, like the early church. I like what Dr. Worsby says, quote, The purpose of the early church was to spread the gospel and to win souls. Not to get involved in social action. Had the first Christians been branded as an anti-government sect, they would have been greatly hindered in their soul winning and their church expansion. While it is good and right for Christians to get involved in the promotion of honesty and morality in government and society, this concern must never replace the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that. I like what Paul said to the Romans. He said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, what people need is repentance and eternal life. That's what it's all about. People are going to hell. They're going to die. And if we don't take them the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who's in the White House or who's not. We're talking about eternity. People you and I know, our brothers, our sisters, our loved ones and friends. Taking the gospel to them, living the gospel in their presence. Setting the example as believers that we are not takers, but we're givers. We give to the Lord because we love the Lord. And because we want to see our account in heaven greatly profiting in our investments in souls today. That's what it's all about. It's not about material things. It's about eternal things. Spiritual things.
Today, as you consider those who are experiencing the current crisis without the hope of Christ, we pray that you've been challenged to more proactively share the gospel. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we can send you a complete CD copy for a donation of any amount. The number to call is 800-634-9165. And when you contact us, just ask for the lesson titled, The Importance of the Gospel. Now, to arm you with an even greater sense of mission and authority, we'd like to tell you about Raul's book titled Victory, Overcoming Our Enemies. As it draws from his real-life war experience in Vietnam, this resource uses military precision to guide you in successfully battling the spiritual forces of this world with the power of Christ. As you learn how to wage war on the battlefield, you'll be encouraged to stand in the strength of Jesus' name for yourself, your family, and your unsaved loved ones. Contact us to order Raul's book titled Victory, Overcoming Our Enemies, and we'll send your copy for a gift of $11.95 plus shipping and handling. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. If you'd like to write us, our address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. With all the chaos that's going on all around us, we are thankful to be able to bring biblical teaching straight to you and your family online. These resources we have are offered at no cost because of your continued donations. You'll find all of Raul's teachings as podcasts available to download through Spotify and iTunes. And you can also view chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse biblical teaching videos streamed daily for your kids and young adults, including Pastor Raul's current Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services on YouTube. They're available by searching Somebody Loves You Worldwide. Well, as you continue to think about the people in your life who don't know the Lord, we'd welcome the opportunity to join you in praying for them. We're also happy to pray for any additional needs that you have, so be sure and share those when you get in touch with us. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Be sure and join us again for the next Somebody Loves You Radio. Together, we'll explore the wonderful truths of God's Word for fresh hope and renewed strength. Here's Raul now once again to wrap up today's lesson.
Charles Spurgeon said something beautiful. He said, "If the grace which I profess to have received leaves me exactly the same kind of a person as I was before receiving it, then it is not New Testament salvation. The grace which does not drastically change my behavior will never change my destiny." I love that. Will never change my destiny. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. I hate religion, but I love my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a love relationship with Him. That's the only relationship that will count when it comes to the end, when you and I stand in the presence of God and give an account of our lives. I would love to see God do a tremendous work in our church, greater than He's doing. And in the world, to reach all these kids underground, to reach your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, to reach a university student, to reach anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about today here.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.